Okay, Finlay, you come and read. He's going to read from Leviticus. Good. Now, let me just put that. Okay, you get that.
The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. So beginning with the 15th day of the 7th month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of rest, and the 8th day is also a day of rest. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the trees, and palm fronds, leafy branches, and poplars, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the 7th month. Live in booths for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in booths, so that your descendants will know that I made the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God."
Thanks, Finlay. That's great. Thank you. So what was the name of the feast? Will I get him up again? Come on, Finlay. Nobody was listening to you, obviously. Or was somebody listening? Read that first line again, then.
The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days.
Did we get that? What was the feast called? Tabernacles. So you listen to your brother, that's good. That's good. Okay, the Feast of Tabernacles, that's right. Right, so, but what was the strange thing that they had to do? What was the strange thing they had to do? For those 7 days, what did they have to do? Yeah, that's right. They had to live in, in the reading it was booths, but it was tents, that's right. It was shelters. They had to make a shelter, and I'm hoping, here we are. The Feast of Tabernacles. That's what we're talking about. That's what this feast. And it was at the end of harvest. The end of harvest, a way of celebrating harvest. And the Jews call it Sukkot or Sukkot. That's what they called it. And they were to live in a sukkah or a sukkah. And it was a booth. They had to make it. They made it. And they lived in that for 7 days. They got out of their normal homes, and they lived in that. And you can see how they made it. And I thought that we might make a sukkah here. And I looked around, and I looked for sukkah builders. And I found two, Dan and Chris. And while I speak, they're going to build us a sukkah. You are, aren't you? Yeah. And I gave them 4 minutes to do it. And they're going to do it while I speak. They're just going to do it over here, right? They're going to build. Because even today, the Jewish people at this time, they build a sukkah. And there's one. There's a modern one. And you can see it. It's got three sides to it, and it's got an open front, and they decorate it. Just ignore the noise. And they decorate it. And one of the things about it is that, as I said, three sides. Are we anywhere near three sides? Oh, come on, boys. No. That's going up here. That's a down. That's it. Good. If you want a job done well,
zero chance.
Do it yourself. That's right. No, they're getting there. They're getting there. So there's three sides. Yeah, well, you can pull that back a wee bit, I think. or we'll never get anybody in front. And then you have to have something on top, and it's got to be, they've got us covering the top, and normally we'll cover it with branches in a minute, but it had to be to give shade, but you had to be able to see the stars as well. So it was an open roof. And then, as I say, they would decorate it. And today, when the Jewish people keep the Feast of Tabernacles, they do build a sukkah, but they tend to not live in it for the week, but they try and eat one meal for each week. But in the Old Testament, the people moved out of their homes and they moved into their sukkahs, and they not only ate there, but they slept there. They lived there. And today, again, they decorate it with different things. And in a minute, boys and girls, you're going to get the chance to decorate this once it's done. Are we at 4 minutes yet? I don't know. With different things, just with paper chains there, but also with, if you can see it, they also take some of the harvest, because remember, this is harvest. And so they put fruit around the outside and also at the floor there, because again, this is a harvest festival, and it's just their way of giving thanks to God. But they're also remembering, just as they keep going, why are they doing this? Did you remember what Finlay read in the reading there? Why are they doing this? They're giving thanks. It's a harvest festival. But they're also remembering something. Anybody remember what they're remembering? Why were they to live in shelters, in sukkahs, like this one? Or like that one, or probably much more like if I go back to the one at the beginning. Probably originally looked much more like that. Why were they remembering that? Why did they have to live in booths, in shelters? Oh, thank you for that remembering. That's good, because I had forgotten. Why were they doing that? Well, it's because they were remembering something about what God had done for them when they'd been slaves in Egypt and God had rescued them. And then they had to go 40 years across the wilderness. And during that time, they lived in sukkahs, in booths. That was what they had, in tents. They were always on the move. And this was God reminding them of that time. This was part of their history. It was part of their heritage, reminding them that he had been with them and for them. We're almost there, are we? Well done. Is anybody timing this? Was that 4 minutes? Not bad. Not bad. And then, yeah, we'll just put these on top. That's great. Good. There's our sukkah. And the people would come and they would live in these for their Feast of Tabernacles, their harvest feast. And they would give thanks for the fruit and for all that God had given. And they would remember. They would remember. One of the things that you can see was part of this feast was looking backwards. Looking backwards. The people were to look back and to remember when they had lived in something like a sukkah. They had lived in that, and God had been with them and had provided for them. So let's just listen to this reading. First time, this is from Deuteronomy. And actually, this takes place just as the children of Israel, God's people, just as they've come across the wilderness and they've got just to the very edge of the land of Canaan. And this is the first part of this reading, and Ryan is going to come and read for us. And you're going to hear, boys and girls, that again, the Israelites are encouraged to look backwards as they think. Okay, Ryan.
Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know it then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you.
That's great. Thank you. So, here's God's people, the Israelites, and they've been across the wilderness, and they've lived in their sukkahs and so on. We'll need to come to the end of this. Here we are. Yeah. And again, he's asking them to look backwards and to remember. And to remember particularly that all these 40 years when they were living in tents, in shelters, across that, when they were crossing a desert, and of course you can't grow food in a desert, God provided them. He fed them. He's reminding them this is meant to be a drawing of the people collecting manna, which God gave them. He wanted them to remember the ways in which God had provided for them, protected them, to encourage them that God has been faithful to them. He wanted to remind them of how he had cared for them. He wanted to remind them of how he had kept speaking to them, because he knew that they not only needed food like manna or water to drink, but they needed his word to guide them, to direct them, to show them what he was like, to show them what they were like and their need of him. And he reminded them that he had done all that for them so they would be encouraged and they would trust him and follow him, but also so they would look not only backward but then forward as well. They're looking backwards, but they're also looking forwards. They're encouraged to look forward. And Krista's going to read us the rest of that reading, which speaks of what they were looking forward to. Krista, where are you? There you are. Okay.
Deuteronomy's chapter 8, verse 6 to 11. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his way and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with spring flowing in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron, and you will dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you don't forget your Lord, your God.
Krista. So, here they are, and they've been looking backwards. They've been remembering the ways in which God provided for them, fed them, led them. But now also he wants them to look forward. This is what lies ahead of you. And this is the land that lies ahead of you. And it's very different from the wilderness. It's very different from the desert where they've been. What kind of land was it? Did you hear how they described the land, how he described the land? He called it a good land. It was going to be a fertile land. It was going to be a land in which they could grow things. And actually, they listed seven things there. There was barley, there was wheat, there was pomegranates, there was all these different things. There would be grapes. And this was something to encourage them. As they went forward, they were to look forward because God was going to bring them into the land that he was giving them. And he said to them, just as when they were in trouble, when life was difficult in the desert, he didn't want them to forget him. So also, as they came into this new land, don't forget the Lord, he was saying to them. Keep remembering. Don't forget. But it's important, isn't it? There's such an important thing to be able to look both backwards and forwards. To have something to look forward to is important, isn't it? Especially if life at the moment is difficult. And so God was just reminding them, look what's coming. Look what's coming. Look forward. And we're thinking about that. It's not just the people of Israel who needed that something to look forward to. That's something that we all need, especially when life is difficult. And in a moment or two, we're going to think about a group of people who need that hope, who need something to look forward to. Okay, so think about that, looking forward, looking forward. We've been thinking about how during the Feast of Tabernacles, children of Israel were to live in tents. And I want us just to think about this morning, a group of people who find themselves living not just for 7 days in tents, but for much longer than that. So I want us just to watch this video just for a brief moment. This is the work that we're thinking about this morning that the retiring offering is for. It's called Arise Africa. And just listen for a moment to this video.
This is where we live, in RDP camp, for 4 years, getting to 5 years now. Each and every one you are seeing here, we are all Christians, and we are displaced because of violence. This here is my house. Three of them stayed here with me and my wife. Then the rest of the children join up my neighbor to stay when it's night. When day breaks, they come back and meet with me, stay with me as parents. This is cupboard that we use it in roofing, preventing sun from preventing us from sun. As you can take a look at this. This tent here is from here to this place is 1.5 meters. From here to here is 1.5 meters. from here to here is 1.5 meters. It's smaller than the a double mattress.
Okay, is this, are we back on with this? Is that possible? I'll give you a minute just to find that, hopefully. But again, this is just a reminder, boys and girls, that there are some people living well, not just for a few days, but did you hear what the man said there, how long they've been living in these tents? What was it, Jamie? 4 years. That's right. That's not their home. Their home is somewhere else in Nigeria, but they've had to flee from violence, from conflict. And there's, well, across sub-Saharan Africa, of which Nigeria is part, there's about 34 million people who've been displaced and are living. And of those, there's about 16.2 million Christians living in tents like that. And they're living there because they've had to flee from their homes. I don't know, did anybody listen? Did anybody see Pastor Barnes? Pastor Barnabas said about how big his tent was. Did anybody hear how big it was, Fraser? That's right, 1.5 meters. Well, 1.5 meters is about five feet, so that's less than that. And as you can imagine that, so he had a family. Well, three of his children, I think he said, were staying in their tent. And yeah, here we are. Three of his children were staying in a tent. Oh, that's back. This is what we're thinking about. This campaign, this Arise Africa. Three of his children staying in one tent, some others staying in another tent. And again, here he is outside his tent. That's his wife there. And that's where they live, just in a small tent. And there's a picture of the camp there where they've been living for the last 4 years. And, well, what do they do in that tent, in that camp? What do they do? Well, actually, I think they look backwards. Sometimes, I think if you listen to, I've listened to Pastor Barnes, sometimes he feels he's been forgotten. He and his people have been forgotten, but not forgotten by God. They look back. What does a Christian do when life is hard? They look back to what Jesus has done, to God's love expressed in Jesus, because that doesn't change. They look back to that demonstration of God's love in Jesus. Look back, well, and then in the present, they actually look up. He's looking to God. He's crying. He's a pastor. He's crying out to God to help them and to meet them in their need. And we pray this morning that perhaps a little bit of what we are able to give can be part of the answer to that prayer. But they look upwards to God and long for the day when they won't be living any longer in a tent, when maybe they might be able to return home. But even if they can't return home, they do know that God has a home for them. They do know that God has promised his people in Jesus a home. And so they're looking backward, remembering that Jesus has died, and that's the pledge that God still loves for them and cares for them. And they're looking upward to God for their present needs, looking for him to supply, and praying to him, crying out to him. One of the other people, one of the other areas that's affected by this violence, and where you've got people in camps, is Burkina Faso. And one of the pastors there said this. He said, "We are displaced, but Jesus is not, and he will not be displaced in our lives. He is always with us, and that truth helps us in difficult times, he knows that he can, that Jesus is there, and he can look up to him and cry to him. But he knows too that there is a hope. There is a hope. Even if they never get back to their original home, even if they have to live their life, the rest of it, in a tent, they know that there is a better home one day waiting for them. They know the promise right at the end of the Bible of a new heaven and a new earth, of a home with God, with Christ, in which God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and no more death, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And in, you know, in one sense, although our experience is very different from these folk that we're thinking about today, and yet it's interesting, isn't it? Paul talks about you and I living in a tent. He likens our earthly bodies to a tent, which will one day pass away. But he says, beyond this earthly life, when we give up that earthly tent, he says there's an eternal building, not built with human hands, an eternal building given by God in Christ. And so the Christian can still look forward. Whatever their circumstances, whatever their situation, they can still look forward. As Paul puts it at the end of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And we know that if this earthly tent in which we live is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house, an eternal home in heaven, not built by human hands. And so we're encouraged, whoever we are, wherever we are, as a Christian, we're encouraged, look backwards, remember what Jesus has done. Look upwards. He's with you now and can help in the darkest of circumstances. And then look forwards, because you always have a future with him, a glorious future. And there's something for us to think about. There's God's people in the Old Testament looking backwards, forwards, upwards. There's these folk in sub-Saharan Africa looking backwards, forwards, upwards. And again, for ourselves, this encouragement on this harvest Thanksgiving, to look back and to give thanks, to look up and to cry, and to look forward in hope too, with all that is yet to come. Well, and let me lead you just in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, today for all that we have. We thank you above all for that gift of Jesus, the Redeemer, our Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your promise never to leave us or forsake us. And we thank you for all the tokens, again, of your generosity and kindness to us in material things as well as in spiritual things. And in particularly in the material realm, we do pray for those who have so little in comparison and yet who also look to you. We pray for these Christians, Lord, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, displaced because of violence and conflict. We know that you hear their cries, and we pray that you might also open our ears and eyes and hearts and indeed hands, Lord, to do what we can to help our brothers, our sisters. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray for an increase of supply of food in their campsites, improved hygiene and health care. We pray that you would sustain the faith of your people and your word would prove a source of constant encouragement. And Lord, also, we cannot but also pray to you today for the current situation in the Middle East, and pray for a resolution there to that conflict in a way that would allow Israelis, Palestinians, Lebanese, Iranians to live in lasting peace. Lord, hear us, protect civilians from harm, and in your mercy, shorten the time of suffering in the Middle East. And Lord, looking back to last week, we would also just remember David and Elaine Moore and ask for that service, that gathering this afternoon, and pray that you would draw many folks to that today. So hear us and continue with us today as we give you thanks, giving you thanks for the food that we will share later on today. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.